Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, you're so kind. There's no one as kind as you. There's no one as loving as you. Thank you that we can run to you when there is no one else to run to. And thank you that you always, always, always have your arms open wide. You never close your arms and say no. You always are ready to take us, whatever condition we find ourselves in, no matter what our need is. I'm so thankful, Jesus. In all the years I've known you, you've never, ever turned me away, and I've never, ever seen you turn anyone away. But you just don't do that. Not if they come with a real heart. And I thank you for that. You're not like people. You're not like others. You're not like anyone we know. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we judge God by what we know of people. There's people in here that, as we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord was saying that there's people in here that you've never, this is not everybody, okay? But God wants to minister. There's some people in here, you've never known anyone that really had your back. You've never known anyone that kept their word or did right by you. And so you learned not to trust people. And it has caused brokenness. And sometimes when we have that kind of brokenness, we shut it in. And we make ourselves strong, right? Because we don't want everybody to see our stuff. But there's one person that he really wants you to trust, and that's him. He's not like anyone you've ever known. And I think when we first meet Jesus, we don't really know that he's not like the other people we know. He can be trusted with your life. He will always do what is best, always. And he's always looking out for us, even though we don't understand. And you might say, well, then why did certain bad things happen? Well, the scriptures say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness in heavenly places, where there is more spiritual beings besides God. God is not the only spiritual being. There is a very real devil. There are very real demons who, by the way, hate you. And especially if you've shown interest in Jesus, they want to sever you from him. You know, did you know the enemy's war? Some Christians say, well, the enemy's fighting me. You know who he's really fighting is the Lord. The enemy is at war with God. He's very jealous of God. He always has been. Because he can never be what God is. God is the eternal creator, has all power. And the enemy, he's jealous of that. So he tried to take God's throne. That just makes me want to laugh out loud. So what he does, he can't get at God. He has no real power. So what he does is he tries to hurt God's kids, or more importantly, sever their relationship from God by accusing them, but also accusing God. So he'll cause certain things to happen in your life. And some things happen by the hands of humans. Some things happen because of our own choices. Let's just be brutally honest. And things go sour and we say, God, why did you let that happen? But a lot of times the enemy has come in to try to point the finger at God and say, he doesn't care for you. He didn't stand up for you. I used to feel that way when I was young. I had a lot stolen from me. I had a very hard time. And because I didn't understand truth, it's very dangerous not to understand truth. I didn't understand enough truth. And so I felt like, God, why did these things happen? Don't you love me? I knew he did, but I couldn't understand. You know, there was like a rift somewhere. And what God began to show me was that I really didn't know him. And that if I really knew him, if I knew his heart, I would trust him like no other. I would trust him with every piece peace in every part of my life and my heart. And you know what we do? Because we're afraid of being hurt again, some of you in here, you've been through stuff. And some of it has been really terrible. And because you haven't known how to process it, and that's pretty normal, what has happened is you've taken a step back from God and said, I love you, but this area of my life, I'll manage it myself, thank you. Because it's too painful to really entrust that to God. If you've ever been hurt in a human relationship, sometimes it's hard to trust again. Some people say, I'm never getting in a relationship again because of what that one did, or that one and that one and that one and that one and that one. And the problem with that is we tend to make a shield over our heart. It's a protective thing. It's nature. It's human nature. I actually think God gave this to kids for survival. Some children go through things that no child should ever go through, right? Shouldn't be, but it is. There's children who see things that no child should ever see, hear things no child should ever hear. There's people in this room, you've never told anybody some of the stuff that happened to you when you were little. And you don't need to. That's nobody's business, but it is something God wants to heal. And so I feel like sometimes we hold areas back from God because we think we're self-protecting. But in fact, what we're doing is protecting God out of fixing it. We're stopping God from healing the heart. So one of the things we can do, when I was young, I didn't understand this whole trust thing. You know, what I was real interested when I read in the scriptures that Jesus did not entrust himself to man because he knew it was in their heart. So he didn't trust us either. And so he is not asking us to just blindly trust everybody. He knows what's in the heart of man. We are all capable of things we shouldn't be. Even if you trust a good person, they may have a day where they don't do so well. They may have a bad day. They may do the wrong thing. They may do something that will hurt you, even if it's a really good person. So it's not really good to place all your trust and hope in any one human except for Jesus. And so what Jesus is asking us to do is not necessarily to trust everybody and their brother, but to trust him so wholeheartedly. It's something you grow in. You're not going to just like get there overnight. But what happens is as you begin to bring him the things that are impossible, the things that are broken, the things that have destroyed you, things that people have said, things that people have done to hurt you, when you begin to bring those to Jesus and lay them at the foot of the cross, there's this thing called the exchange. It's where you exchange, first of all, when you do this, you bring it to the foot of the cross, you take your hands off it. And that's a little hard to do if you're trying to fix it yourself, right? Our nature sometimes is that we want to try to get it fixed and we want to manage it and, you know, package it and make it all work right. And don't we do that? Some people try to manage their kids, you know, hallelujah. They try to control things. They don't think they're control freaks, but a lot of times controlling people are actually ruling instead of letting God rule, and because they are, he can't. Sometimes if you have too strong of a rulership over an area of your life or your child's life or your spouse's life, you are actually stopping God from doing the thing you're asking him to do. And a controlling person is actually put themselves in the seat of God. Uh-oh. You've made yourself Lord of the situation. And why is that dangerous? It's dangerous because now you've said, Jesus, I don't really trust you with this, and you're not saying it outwardly, but this is what you're actually doing. Jesus, I don't really trust you with this. I kind of know how this should go, so you manage all that stuff, and I'll manage this. And then we pray according to what we think he should do. And we're telling him day and night, do this, do this, do this, do this. Like he's deaf. He's not deaf. And so at some point, listen, when something doesn't work for enough years, take the hint. Right? Here's what we do. You know, God bless Christian singers, but some of the songs they sing as though, I'm at the end of my rope, oh Jesus, won't you come and help me now? Well, that's great, but why didn't you just say that in the first place? You didn't have to go through 5 years of yuck. But the reason that a lot of times we go through stuff for so long and then finally give it to God is because we didn't really give it to him right in the first place. And you can actually learn to give him the thing to manage, take your hands off, and exchange it. The cross is the place where you go to exchange your junk for his goodness, your sin for his mercy, your deficit. I go every day with deficits. There's all kinds of stuff I'm not able to do that I'm supposed to do. I'll tell you the honest truth, all day long. There's all kinds of stuff that I think, oh, man, I got to do this. I don't know how to do this. There's things I have to do that are kind of hard. You know what? I don't waste time. I go straight to Jesus and I say, okay, you see this? I'm supposed to do this. I don't have the ability. I am giving this to you. Pour your grace on this. Let your grace, which is your ability to do what I cannot do or don't feel like doing. Come on, did you ever just not feel like praying? Did you ever not feel like studying? Come on. Grace is when you just don't have it. Did you ever have one of those mornings you wake up and you're just pooped and you know all the stuff you should do and you got a list as long as your arm and you just don't have it? Well, that's a day where you say, Lord Jesus, I want to do what's right. I just don't have it. But will you do this through me? And watch him move. I've never had him say no to that prayer in all these years. And I pray it many times every day, many times. But it's even better than that. Let's say you have a brokenness and you've been afraid to look at it. Have you ever had a locked room in your heart? Sometimes what happens to people, I minister to a lot of different people, and I've met people that literally have locked up pieces of their history because it was too much to handle, so they blacked it out. And they cannot even remember certain years. Okay? Well, sometimes when that happens, there's a reason. And I want to be real gentle here. It may mean that you went through something that was just too hard to remember. And so sometimes we shut off an area because we can't deal with it. And we're afraid that if God opens it up to heal it, we'll have to relive. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't have to make you relive horrible things to heal you. That's not godly. You don't have to do that. God is so gentle. But he also can't get at a box that you have a padlock on. If there's areas of your life that you know are not dealt with, ask him to help you. Ask him for the grace to open it up. Listen, have you ever had the closet full of junk? Some of you are just neatniks and you've never had junk in your closet. But some of you are not that way. And when someone's coming over and there's extra stuff, you just kind of, you know. Well, we do that with our lives. We do that with emotions. We do that with hard things. Sometimes something's too hard, so we just go, not dealing with that, not looking at that, don't remember, la, 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 Lord, I don't want to hear what you're saying about that. Don't talk to me about that. But God actually wants to turn that into glory. Did you know it? He wasn't kidding. He said all things work together for good to those that love God. Amen. He can take the worst, most horrible situation of your life and turn it for good. Impossible situations. Impossible. That there's no earthly way it could ever come out good. God will find a way because he loves you and because he's God and he can do it. And it will usually be not a way you foresaw, not a way you thought of. I remember being in situations where I thought, I can't even think of a way this could ever come out that isn't a disaster. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't even know what to pray for because there's no good way this would come out. And do you know, it took a few years. But God turned that thing into his glory. And it turned into an amazing thing that blessed him, blessed the kingdom, and really blessed me. And I thought, wow, God is able to turn our situations. Now, he'll always do it in a way we don't think. We don't need to be telling God what to do all the time. Okay? If you're praying the same, if you're an anxious, okay, I'm just going to imitate somebody. I don't know who you are. But some people are like, and they're just saying the same thing over and over because they have angst over one thing. Maybe it's a kid, maybe it's a situation. They're praying the same thing over and over and over. If it hasn't come to pass yet, you might want to rethink the way you're approaching it. God is not hard of hearing. And it's not that he doesn't care. Believe me, he wants it fixed more than you do. He loves the people involved more than you do. He loves your kids more than you do. He loves your marriage more than you do. He loves you more than you do. He does. God loves us without reason. God loves you no matter what your faults are. You know how I know? Because he loves me, and I got a lot of them. God loves people. He cares. You're what make him tick. And he remembers. I was driving in the car one time. I was like, how do you love people? I don't even like us. I don't even like me sometimes. How do you like us? How do you love us? And he said this to me. He said, because I knew you when. I said, what do you mean? He said, before Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were made in my image. I made them with a glorious intent. And when I look at my kids, even though the fall has happened and some things went bad, and my kids have that, you know, our flesh nature is not so good. If you're born again, you have, you have a spirit nature which is holy, okay? But he said, I see you as you could be. I'm not looking at your faults all the time. Oh, you didn't, oh, you should have. He said, I'm looking at what I made you to be. I'm looking at how you can be. What I'm rooting for you to become who I designed you to be. Some of you don't even know what I designed you to be, but it's glorious. When you go home, read Psalm 139. It says that there are words that were written about you before. It says actually the number of your days was written before one of them came to pass. Come on, before you were born, God knew the number of your days and wrote it in a book. Come on. He had a design and a care, and he's not looking. We all bungle it. James said we all stumble in many ways. That's what he said. The great apostle. He said we stumble in many ways. He was right. We do. All of us do. God isn't looking so much. He does want us to come more and more close to him. There's a journey of growing closer to him throughout life until you come so close that you know him as your closest friend. God wants you to know him as your closest friend and confidant. There's nothing I don't talk about Jesus about. And I don't come with a mask, oh, Holy Father, oh, dear Lord, consider this day. No, no, no. Lord, hey, here I am. I got this problem. I'm kind of ticked. I know that's not right, but this is how I'm feeling. Listen, God is a person. He loves you and he cares for you and he's all about helping you change to become the better thing. He's not mad. Thank God. We'd all fry. The point is, it's a lifestyle that many people, I think it's been overlooked. And I only found it because I was so desperate. But God is looking for us to learn how to live a lifestyle of continually exchanging the stuff that needs to get exchanged, the hurting, the wounds, the situation that just won't get fixed. You know, you just seem stuck in a cycle for years. When you're stuck in a cycle for years, there's people in here, you're wondering, why hasn't God fixed this, or why does this keep happening? Someone I love very much, someone I really admire a lot, a wonderful saint, had a pattern of events that kept happening, and they were not good events. They were not. And it kept happening and happening and happening and happening. And she was really frustrated. And I said, you probably shouldn't do this, but I did. I said, have you ever asked God if there's something causing that pattern? And she said, you mean you think it's my fault? I said, no, I'm not saying that. But usually when there's a pattern of events that continues to happen, there is a reason. You might want to ask him, is there something you need to see? Well, most people would have gotten mad, never called me again, and not asked God. But she actually got off the phone and said, God, is there something you're trying to get me to see? And God revealed to her that she had held a judgment in her heart against her mom. Her mom had been a controlling person, they weren't close. She had held some bitterness in her heart. And this pattern, she said, everywhere she went to work, she would have issues. She would get a female boss, and she would have issues with them. She would say, female bosses are the worst. I'm like, I've had like four female bosses. Man, they're awesome. They're, I hate to say it, but I don't have that pattern. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but. So I said, take a look at it. What happened was the judgment she had held against her mom. Listen, whatever you judge comes back on you. And the measure you use gets measured to you. That's what the scriptures say. So she was having this pattern revisit her, and God was not mad at her, okay? But she had opened a door by certain judgments. You can open a door yourself to the enemy's camp, to certain things, right? You can, you know, you can open doors to poverty. You can open doors to sickness. Why would you want to do that? I'll go a long way to shut a door. I mean, I will do whatever it takes to close the door to the enemy because I don't want his stuff. He doesn't have anything good. All he has is cruelty. He is cruel. He will send you someone, and I'm talking to the single people now, he will send you somebody that really looks good and they smell good and they're so nice and they do all the stuff and he'll design it so they'll do all the stuff you think is nice. He can do it. He can do it. I've seen him do it 100 times. And what he'll try to do is bait you, right? And then once you bite the hook, their mask drops and you see what they are. Come on. Did you ever see somebody who seems nice but they're really demonic? Did you ever marry someone like that? Oh, come on. Did I say that out loud? That is not funny. And everybody did think they're so sweet. But they're a monster. Nobody knows it but you because they hide it at home. What happened? What, did God punish you? No. You fell for the bait of the enemy. So it's good to be shrewd. It's good to be, Jesus said, we're to be as shrewd as serpents, but as innocent as doves. Listen, most of our problems come because we weren't shrewd. We didn't see what the enemy was trying to do when he laid a trap. And he has all kinds of them. And listen, if what he's trying to do is get you to go into his kingdom for a visit, okay? And I'm not just talking about open sin. Yeah, I mean, he'll try. If you've not been saved a long time, maybe you're not delivered yet, he'll try to get you to go into certain places where sin is so he can get you. A friend of mine is an evangelist, powerful evangelist. And she went to, when she first got saved, she still had a lot of, shall we say, ties. I mean, she had dealt drugs in her life. She had a drug habit, and she sold drugs. And when you sell drugs, and this was in Las Vegas, when you sell drugs in Las Vegas, you're dealing with the syndicate, right? So she had some ties going on there, and she had to go try to close those doors. And to do so, she had to meet with somebody. To meet with somebody, she went into a bar, and it was a pretty dark bar. She walked into the bar and heard Satan say, look, it's God's girl on our territory. Get her. What happened? She opened a door and got clobbered. Now, sometimes it's not that obvious. Sometimes it's a flirtation. Seems like fun. But listen, when you sow a little bit of something, sometimes it starts to grow. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. What starts small grows. And that's Satan's plan. He won't come in and say, here, come and commit adultery. No, because you're not that stupid, I hope. No, he'll say, oh, just a little flirty here. Oh, they just think you're cute. And then your ego goes, ooh, they think I'm cute. Come on. Come on. You know I'm telling the truth. And when you dabble just a little bit and you say, oh, that doesn't bother me. I knew a guy, he would watch pornography and he'd say, well, it doesn't affect me. Well, you're either lying to yourself or you're lying to me. It ended up eating him for lunch. It starts as a little dabble, but little by little, it becomes a strong hold. And then even when you want to get free, now you got a strong hold. And now you got to really get help to get out of it because you sowed into it so much. It got a hold of your soul. And now you got a problem, right? But God wants you to walk so free because you're shrewd enough to go, ah, nope, no thanks, nope, not today, nope, thank you, no, hallelujah. If you walk and God, there's a lot of junk that will never happen to you. I said, if you walk in God and you don't go into the enemy's camp, there's a lot of bad things that will never happen to you because Satan won't have inroads into your life. If he has had inroads into your life, and I am not condemning you and God isn't either, but sometimes it's good to say, go back and say, did I make a decision that opened a door to let him clobber me like that? Is there any choices that I made that kind of opened? And usually you don't have to think about it too hard. Usually you kind of know, because if you're born again, you kind of have a witness in yourself, a little check, don't do that, and you did it. Then you had another check, don't do that, and you did it, right? And so what happens is when you keep doing that, you don't say the Holy Ghost doesn't talk to me. That's how he talks to you. Sometimes it's just a little check on the inside. He doesn't always say, don't do that. You know, you just get this, ooh, I really, but you do it anyway, right? What happens is, if you do that enough, your heart begins to grow hard. And if you do it long enough, and I don't think there's anyone in here like this, but I have seen it, and it's horrible. Someone can go so far down that road that their conscience becomes seared with a hot iron, the Bible says. And they can no longer, even they don't even have a conscience anymore about it. They just say, one guy, he said, I'm just a brother Christ died for. Just living a hellish life and justifying it. It's a terrible way to live. Because it says, the Bible says, if we willfully continue in sin, we trample afresh the blood of Christ, and there remains no sacrifice. That's terrifying to me. I don't ever want to go down that road. So I didn't know we were going to be talking about that. But what I want to say is that God wants to help you. He wants to take your life and make it what it was intended to be. He wants to take you and show you off. You know, God wants to show you off. You know, I didn't know I was going to be talking about this. But it says he wants that the enemy's kingdom to know his manifold wisdom. He wants to show off the church. He doesn't have much to show off right now. But he wants to be able to show off his kids and say, looky there, there's one that wouldn't give in. There's one that wouldn't walk down your road, and look what I can do for him. See, when God sees someone whose heart is wholly his, says his eye is continually roving throughout the earth, searching for those whose heart is wholly his, wholly, completely his, so that he may show himself strong in them. Who do you think he wants to bless? Who do you think? What, Abraham was very, 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 very blessed. He belonged to God. When you belong wholly to God, God can wholly bless you. When you belong halfway to God, he can only bless the parts you've given him. It's true. So sometimes we give him everything but this one thing, or everything but that one thing, or everything but that one guy, or that one girl, or that relationship, or that one habit. Everything else he can still bless, but you'll find that you have problems in that area, and it's not because God is mad, it's because you haven't yielded to him. If you have money problems, hey, go to God and say, what can I do to get the blessing of the Lord on my finances? What can I do? Show me how to do that. He has all kinds of amazing things he will do to cause the blessing of the Lord to come on your finances. Your health, your eyesight, your brain, your understanding. He has all kinds of things he's written in your word. He wants his children blessed. But he doesn't, I think the mistake is, a lot of preachers have preached the blessing of the Lord, right? Which is good. But sometimes people thought, well, just carte blanche, he should just bless me, just, you know, because I'm his kid and I'm so nice. No. No, you have to walk according. I'm not saying we're under the law, but I am saying there are systems he put in his word, and if we walk according to them, we automatically release the blessing into that area. Come on. There's things he laid out about marriage. There's certain things he wrote in his word about marriage. And if we just we seek him in it, we seek him for that heart, a blessing will start to come on that marriage. There's blessings that he put in there for how to do money. I, you know, our culture, well, here's one of the problems we have. We come from a culture that is so different from the days that the Bible was written. So we read it through our filters. But you remember, in the day that it was written, even those who didn't know our God, they worshiped gods. They knew what it was to bring offerings. They knew what it was to give sacrifices. They knew what it was to kneel down and worship, to bring gifts to a deity. That was the culture. So that's why people are, this thing has gotten so perverted that it happened that people didn't understand it and thought the church was cranking them. And because they weren't giving, the church was cranking them. Come on, let's be honest. So the church is cranking them, and they're like, well, I don't want to give to that. And you should never give because somebody cranked you to give. You, if that's the case, walk away from it. Go alone with God and say, I want to worship you. Giving is actually supposed to be worship. You're bringing a gift to the one you love because you love him, because he's worthy. You don't sing, you know, we have made this such a religion. Sometimes people come and they're, okay, you're supposed to do this many songs and then preach, and that's like a thing you just do. I remember going to a church when I was first saved. I didn't understand the concept. I didn't like their music. You know, God told me to go there, so I was going there, but I didn't like their music. So I would endure. I would just endure to the end. Endure. You know, all their music sounded the same. I just didn't like it. I didn't understand the concept. Now, I worshiped God on my own because I was in love with Jesus. And worship is when you love somebody. When you really love them, you want to do stuff for them. No one has to crank you to do it. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your life. You know, if you were in love with somebody, you'd give up anything for him. He did it for us. Because he was in love with us, he laid aside his glory, left heaven, laid aside his reputation, and came here in the lowest form, right, in a stable, born to parents who were not yet married. So how was that going to look? Come on. So, like, set himself up for persecution. Set his mom up for persecution. Think about it. Born in a stable. Pick the lowest way to do it, because he was purchasing you and me. Because he loved us so much. And people didn't even understand it and abused him. But he cared so much for you and me that he said, I'm going to do it anyway. I know they won't get it till later, but that's okay. And he did that because he loved you and me. And we didn't even really, I don't even think we really still got how much he loves us. But when you fall in love with somebody, listen, if you ever see a man that really loves a woman, he's always looking for something that will bless her. Edgar, I had to actually stop him from spending too much money on me. He just wanted to bless me because he loved me so much. If I had to learn to be careful not to say things like, boy, someday, key word, someday I'd like to go on a cruise, because before I got cruise out of my mouth, he'd be on the phone with the Visa card buying a cruise. So I had to learn, don't say it till you're serious. But he was doing that because he loved me so much. When you love somebody, you want to give yourself to them. You want to bless them. And when you bring a song to the Lord, or when you just start talking to him as talk to him, he's your best friend. Talk to him about everything. Even if, you know, some people, when things go bad, they just shut down and they won't talk to God. That's when you ought to be talking to God. You say, well, I'm mad at him. Well, then tell him, hey, Lord, I know you're good. I know the problem isn't you, but I am really mad. Well, let's talk, he says. Come, let us reason together. God is your best friend. Believe me, he loves you. But it's better to work through stuff with him than carry it around for years on end, having it unresolved and wondering why. God wants to not only fix your life, he wants to bless your life, and he wants to cause you to shed all the years of junk. Come on, how many of you have carried a persona that isn't really yours because you had to defend yourself? I used to do it. We have a mask we wear of strength or whatever it is. I knew, I worked with a girl, her mask was to pretend to be a dumb blonde. She was no more dumb. She wasn't dumb. And I said, why do you do that? She said, well, I can get my way better. She was wearing this mask. People wear masks sometimes to hide who they really are. You never have to do that with God. And if you get whole enough, you don't have to do it with people either. Because you can say, kind of, this is who I am, and if you don't like it, that's okay. Because I'm okay with him, and he's okay with me. I don't need to have somebody's approval to like myself. Come on. You're going to get whole enough. If you really entrust yourself to God, he wants to make you so whole emotionally that you don't have to apologize to people for who you are. You don't have to worry about the labels they've stuck on you. Because when you really know who you are in God, you can walk at peace with yourself and actually like yourself, even knowing you have faults. Come on. I said you can even come to a place where you like who you are, even though you know you still have faults and you're still working them out. And it's okay. God doesn't fall off the throne. God is trying to raise up people that will become who they were destined to be. If you're born again, maybe there are people in here you've never been born again, I'd like you to be tonight if you haven't been. Because when you're born again, you're not just forgiven of your sins, you're recreated on the inside, made new. You're a new creation. Isn't that amazing that God could do that? Now your body hasn't changed, your face hasn't changed, maybe some of your ideas haven't changed. But on the inside, there's a new you. This is amazing. Only God could have pulled that off. So if you haven't been born again, make sure you see one of us, me or Lori or somebody tonight to get born again. Because it's the beginning of a whole new life. And if you're born again, but you haven't yielded everything to God, you might want to consider yielding those areas you've held back because you were afraid you'd get hurt again, or you were afraid he'd be mad at you. You know, all he wants to do with those areas is turn them into something good for you. Because when he gives you that newborn again spirit, he is breathing something from heaven that's the real you without the sin. As you would have been before the fall. Adam, before the fall, was complete. He was whole. He was made in the image of God. He was brilliant. He walked in love. He had not, before he'd sinned, he was a whole man. He had confidence. He had love. He was loving. Every good thing, because he was made in the image of God. When the fall happened, he sold himself out to the enemy. And he took that nature on, which was ugly. It was cruel. It wasn't right. It was messed up. Messed up thinking, screwed up thinking, hiding from God. Hiding from God. Who's hiding from God? Because you did wrong. Was God mad at him? No. Come on, Adam, where are you? He helps him by making him garments. Even though he really screwed up, he screwed up the whole human race. But God still made him garments. So when you're born again, there's this from heaven. That's you as you were intended to be. And then you begin a journey of growing into that person instead of this one. And I don't know about all of you guys, but this one for me was really screwed up. Because I had dabbled in a lot of stuff I shouldn't before I was with Jesus. I mean, and even after I met him, I didn't make him fully Lord of my life. So I had a bunch of stuff that I dabbled in. And you know, when you do that, it makes you ugly. And I had strongholds, and I had addictions, and I had squirrely thinking, really stupid thinking. And I was involved with people I shouldn't have been involved with. And that was after I met Jesus. So here's me, born again, and making it worse. We have the ability to do that. Some of you have done that. God is still not mad, but he's saying, come out of that. Let me teach you how to do life. Let me teach you how to do life in such a way that the blessing of the Lord will attend you all the time. Can you imagine that you can come to a place in your journey where the favor of the Lord is always upon you? Not because you're so great, not because you're a better person, but because you're walking in him. It's where you're walking. Okay? It's not who you are. It's not you're better than anyone else. But over time, our journey ought to bring us to a place where we're walking in Him steadfastly and we release Him into the earth and the real you starts to come forth. You know, I was so painfully shy, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything. I was like, you know, bound by fear of man and the need for man's approval. So when God started having me do something, I really didn't want to. You know, when He had me start to talk to people or start to sing in public, I thought, you are crazy. I'm not doing that. And I can't do that. And I couldn't. I had been told by a voice teacher. I went to 3 lessons. She said, honey. You know when they start that way, you know it's not good. She said, honey, your voice is like your face. You can put makeup on it, but your voice is still your voice, just like your face is still your face. I was about 15, you know. Well, you know, the truth is good sometimes. My mom picks me up in the car. I'm like, I don't think I was destined for voice lessons, Mom. Better stick to piano. So when God gets a hold of me, I had an attitude. It was a wrong one. And one night I realized, I'm trying to run this. I'm trying to do what I want to do. And I really didn't want to give in to Him, but I thought, no, I'm going to live life His way. And I let it go, and something happened, and it felt like I'd been through surgery. I didn't understand it. And it was like a scar after surgery. And I went to this little Bible study that night, and I opened my mouth to sing, just like we always did, and somebody else's voice came out of my mouth. What happened there? At first I thought God gave me a new voice, but now I think I had so messed it up because I had an attitude of rebellion. I had an attitude of doing it my own way, and like, I'll do this for you, but I ain't doing that for you, you know. I thought He was asking me to marry this guy and go to the darkest part of Africa. I mean, the hottest, like 125 degrees. He's a good friend of mine. God bless him. He has one solar panel and one battery and one light bulb. And he sits and translates the Bible, and it's like 125 degrees. And I thought God was calling me to marry this guy. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Not only this guy wanted a mouse for a wife. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not mousy. I mean, it took somebody like Edgar to be with me, you know. Just telling you the honest truth. And when I thought He was calling me to marry that guy, and I recognized that I had rebellion. Because I said, oh, you're Lord, but guess what? You're not really, because I ain't doing that. Come on. And I repented. I said, Lord, I apologize. If that's what you want me to do, I will do it. And so what I think happened was the rebellion and the attitude had messed up the voice that was really in there. But it hadn't stolen the desire, so I had gone to the voice teacher trying to do what I was probably supposed to do, but it couldn't be released until the attitude was repented of. Mm-hmm. Come on. So God is trying to help us. He's not trying to harm us. When He says repent, He's actually saying, I want to bless you. I want to open up who you really are. I want to show people what I did. It's so cool. If people ever got to meet the real you, if people got to ever understand, you know, without all your stuff, right? If people ever got to see what God really put in your born-again spirit, they'd be stunned. But we have so much stuff, people don't see the real us, and we don't even see it. And it takes a while. It takes a while of walking with God, getting free of stuff and brokenness and wrong attitudes and all those things. And it's a journey we'll be on the rest of our life, my personal opinion. I mean, I will always be on this journey of being changed. What does it say? From faith to faith and from glory to glory. But really what's happening is, we might better say, we're releasing the real you that's inside. Can I just say to you once again, will the real you please stand up? Because I want to know that you. Not the one that's fearful or been hurt or wounded or angry or broken. Or you've been hit so many times by people, you're like, I don't, who needs them? And I get it. I get it. And so the Lord is just, He wants you to know His love. Can I say He wants to circumcise your heart anew? I was praying with a young man, and he loved the Lord. He was maybe 19, and he said, you know, I used to hear God's voice, but I just don't hear Him anymore. And I said, Lord, what about it? He said, he has grown because of pain, because people have hurt him. He allowed a callus to grow over his heart to protect his heart. How many people have had a callus? Yeah, most of us, right? I have. And what happens is the problem is that callus also keeps God out. You can't say no to people, yes to God. So you can ask God to circumcise your heart afresh and anew and gently take away that need for protection from humans. Because as you get whole, it doesn't matter what they... Listen, Jesus was so whole, they said horrible things to him. You notice how moved he was? Not at all. He wasn't at all moved. He knew going in what they were going to do to him. He wasn't moved. They said horrible things about him. The leaders, by the way, of the country. He didn't care. He came to do what he came to do, and it didn't matter one bit what people said about him, thought about him. Most of them didn't get it. Even his disciples didn't really get the whole crucifixion thing, even though he tried to explain it to them. They said, oh no, surely not, Lord. They didn't get it. Nobody got it. He was alone completely. But he said he had a mission to accomplish. And he said, how I am straitened until it is accomplished. In other words, I was born to do this thing. It's going to hurt, but I'm doing this because I'm purchasing for my Father a people. It will cost me everything, but I've signed on the dotted line. I'm doing it anyway. That's what he was doing. And what I'm saying to you is he was so whole that when they said terrible things about him and accused him of terrible things, even his family came to collect him because he was beside himself. It was his own, the Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary, who had the angelic visitation, came to collect him because he was out of his mind. Because, oh, you've gone too far now, Jesus. He didn't react. He didn't crow. That's what most people do. Well, they don't like me. They think badly. They don't understand who I am. Nope, he didn't even go to the door. He didn't miss a beat. He just kept right on teaching. He said, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who hear the word of God and obey. He just kept right on teaching like they never showed up because he didn't care. He loved them, but it couldn't hurt him because he knew who he was. God wants you to so know who you are. Why are you here and who are you? He knew who he was and he knew why he was here. And if we get to know those two things about ourselves, nobody can take us out with their opinion. Because their opinion doesn't matter. People don't know who you are. Nobody knows who you are. God bless them, your parents didn't know who you are. Your teachers didn't know who you are. Even you, frankly, I didn't know who I was. I'm still figuring it out. But every year I learn a little bit more and I say, wow, God, I had no idea we were doing that or no idea you'd called me to that. I have no ability, but you see, God wants to raise up the real you where you can look in the mirror and say, that's who I am and I'm not going to apologize for that. And if they don't like it, they can lump it. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be kind to them. If I need to do for them like Jesus did, I'll do it. But their opinion does not determine my joy.
That's right.
Amen. Yam, what a yam. Right? Who was that, Popeye?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So I feel like God wants us to just give him tonight any brokenness, any wounding, any part of your past. I feel like, let's just do a proclamation. And you may not need to do this, but just for the sake of those around you, I'm going to ask the Father to give us the words. Father, in the name of Jesus,
I give my life to you.
I give you my broken places.
Any old wounding.
Any labels that people put on me.
Any words that I said about myself
that maybe are not true.
I release myself into your care.
I bring all brokenness to the cross.
And I exchange it for your wholeness.
Help me find the real me.
Help me find the person you created me to be.
Without apology.
And I'll live my life
to glorify you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah. You know, no one knows the real you. And if you ever saw yourself in the spirit, you'd be like, wow, that's who I am in the spirit. Do you know who you look like? You look like you and Jesus. You look like Jesus, but it still has your face. But it's all his attributes. Did you know that you glow if you're born again? If you're born again, that you have a light on you in the spirit only, right? You know that some people can look at you and tell if you're born again, if they're seers? You know those guys that collect money for ministries at the street corner? So I come pulling up to this traffic light, and there's four guys on the four corners. And I'm just resting, and this guy goes, "You're a servant of the Lord, aren't you?" I go, "Yes, I am." He said, "I saw it on you." I'm thinking, what does that look like? You know, he was seeing the other me, the real me. That's what you look like in the spirit, amen? And you may say, well, my outsides are messed up. That doesn't have to stay that way. Amen? Hallelujah. God loves you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.